Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's meditation is the gospel lesson which was read. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, this is another service of celebration. We celebrate again the resurrection, his and yours. It all began rather quietly in the duskiness of the dawn of the first Lord's Day when some of the women came to the tomb to take care of some duties for which there was no time on the previous Friday evening. It was a considerate and a loving thing to do. And women have a way of doing things like that. And I wonder where the men were. Maybe still resting behind locked doors, perhaps afraid. And so it was that the women were the first to hear the good news. And as you know, they were also the first to tell the good news. Good news almost too good to believe. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." And then we're told that they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. When God shows his hand, his powerful hand, people have reason to be afraid. In fact, he always has to tell us not to be afraid. At Jesus' birth, the angel had to tell the shepherds not to be afraid. Here the angel tells the women not to be afraid. And we've come together to hear it again. This good news from God. And in a world of bad news, the news from God is good. And no preacher could make this up. This is no myth, it needs no demythologizing, because this comes straight from God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became the Son of Man, died for the sins of the world. He died for the sins of all who are here. And because he did that in all obedience for all of us, the disobedient sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, God raised him from the dead and declared him to be the Son of God with power. He is Lord, and he is alive. Now, death may make us afraid, but God makes us alive. The text says, "He's not here, for he's risen, as he said." Now, friend, if you miss this, you miss everything about Easter. And it doesn't make any kind of difference what burdens and problems you have brought to this place and this time of worship today. It doesn't make any difference what unsolved problems you have in your personal life or in your academic life. It doesn't make any difference what kind of sins rise up to haunt you. Simply because Jesus Christ is alive, you can take heart. You can share in something of the joy which these women experienced as they realized that Christ was alive, and joy was added to the fear that was present. Recall just for a minute the effect of the resurrection had on Jesus' disciples. Remember, they were afraid and disillusioned after his death, but with the realization of his resurrection, being with the Lord, talking to the Lord, eating with the Lord, listening to his exposition of the scriptures, touching the Lord, they became courageous and had an enthusiasm that took them to the ends of the earth. And in the face of all kinds of difficulties and dangers which may well have invited them to forget all about him, they instead proclaimed that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only hope of the human family. And it is God's intention that we, you and I, should find in the resurrection of Jesus Christ a living and powerful Savior who not only redeems us from our sins, but also liberates us so that we might have a victorious and a productive life. You're one of those who at times wonders whether the resurrection of Jesus Christ can really change a person and change a life. Just listen to that man who met Jesus Christ on that Damascus road and who asked the Lord personally and with unaccustomed humility that dramatic question, "Who are you, Lord?" And the answer came, "I am Jesus." And then note how Paul became the great missionary to the Gentiles. And there you have the answer. Take this, Lord, to be your Jesus and your Savior. The Easter message of the resurrection contains the seminal message that we are born to rise. With Christ as our pastor, we are beckoned to leave behind the base things of life. And Paul refers frequently to the base things of life in his epistles. And we are to ascend to the regions of fruitfulness and productivity. The church today is endangered by a mindset of mediocrity, a willingness to settle for the status quo, church business as usual. And against such a mindset comes the Easter message of resurrection, of rising to the heights of life, of seeking the things that are above, setting our minds on the things that are above, of rising with Christ. Herbert Hoover once said, "Among the delusions offered by fuzzy-minded people is that imaginary creature, the common man. It is dinned into us that this is the century of the common man. The whole idea is another cousin of the Soviet proletariat. The uncommon man is whittled down to size. This is the negation of individual dignity and a slogan of mediocrity and uniformity." Now, some of the would-be shapers of our society predict that by the end of the century, there will be only one class. Now, while that might hold hope for a few who would rise to get to that one class, it is a bit depressing for those who can and should keep rising, and it is foreign thinking to those who have caught the vision of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its potentially powerful impact upon the lives of Jesus' disciples. Charles Wesley caught that vision, and he expressed it in his hymn, "Christ the Lord is risen today." He said, "Soar we now where Christ has led. Follow our exalted head. Made like him we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, the sky." Amen.